Hold on, all of them, say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, where it's only 6 verses, we're going to read the whole chapter. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you that you've revealed yourself to us and teach us from it, Lord. I just pray that you love us so much that you want us to learn more of you. You want to reveal more of yourself to us. And just pray this morning that you would do that. That you would just open our hearts to receive what you have for each one of us. Lord, that you just tune out the distractions of the day and just have us to have a blessed time of fellowship with you now in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. To me, Psalm 1 is just one big word picture. We've got two contrasting things going on. We've got the blessed man. It's just this picture of goodness and wholeness. He's fruitful. He's godly. He's blessed. He's flourishing with fruit. Now, on the other hand, you've got the wicked. They're sinful. They're perishing. And they're really nothing more than chaff. And it's interesting. I'd like to look just a little more at the blessed man, because that's really who we want to concentrate on. That's what we want to be like. We don't, you know, it's good to look at the bad for the contrast, but really focus on the blessed man. And the thing is, he delights in the law of the Lord. You know, it's this picture of a big tree. You know, you think of a big tree, and I don't think see any big trees from here that are quite like this one. But this is the big tree, the big one, that you know, the massive trunk. Fully grown, it's been there for not a few years, not your lifetime, it's been there for generations. It's the one that Grandpa used to give directions by. And it's just massive, and it stands, and it gives shade and protection to all who come near. Its roots go deep. It doesn't wither, like most plants, when it gets dry for dry spells, because it's been rooted and growing and increasing for years and years. But it also gives forth the fruit. And it's interesting, you know, there's several places in the scripture where Jesus talks about fruit and he talks about trees. Matthew 3, chapter 10, he's upset with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he says, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. So fruit bearing for the Christian is not optional. It's a requirement. You know, and you think, well, what kind of fruits do Christians bear anyway? You know, apple trees got apples and orange trees got oranges and Christian trees have what? Christians, right? Well, there's a couple lists in Scripture we're just going to take a quick peek at. The first one we're going to look at is in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, a couple lists of fruits. Actually, Paul's talking to the Galatians and instructing them in their Christian walk, and just in contrast, we're not going to read through it, but just leading up to this, he's got a list of acts of the sinful nature, but then he goes into what he wants the people in Galatia to become. In verses 22 and 23, Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." There are several lists throughout the scripture that talk about these fruits. We'll just flip over to one other one just quickly over in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. And here again we have Paul giving instruction to the people and to the churches. Kind of chapter 3, my Bible's listed rules for holy living, but in verses 12 through 15 of Colossians 3, It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. So we can see that the blessed man, the growing Christian that Paul is trying to instruct these churches to be, is a fruit-bearing tree. So that's kind of my first point. But also as a Christian, we need to not just bear fruit, we also need to defend against the devil. And I brought in a little guest speaker just to tell you a little bit about that. So this is actually a clip from a Promise Keepers convention in 1993. E.V. Hill, some of you have probably seen this before, but he says it much better than I do.
Jesus did not show the devil his glory because we don't have no glory. I go my vest right here. Nobody won't be blown away. Jesus did not say, devil be done, because I couldn't have said it. Jesus had to do something that everybody in here can do. And I'm fixing to give it to you right now, because I want you to use it tonight. I want you to use it tomorrow. I want you to use it tomorrow night. I want you to use it for the rest of your life. Jesus said, devil, it is written. It is written. That's what he said. It's written. In other words, Jesus went to the book of Deuteronomy and came out with scripture. And every time the devil opened his mouth, Jesus threw scripture in his mouth. He came back at him again and he said, devil, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He hit him over and over and over with the scripture. And guess what happened? The devil ran. And guess what you can do beginning tonight? You don't have to take it. You don't have to take his mess. You don't have to take his stuff. Hit him. It is written. When the devil comes up and says, how do you know you've been saved? You are not saved. Yes, I am saved. Hit him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hit him, hit him, hit him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hit him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hit him. How are you going to make it? My God shall supply my every need. How are you going to go through? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. All you have to do is take out your Bible and say, where are you, devil? Come on, devil. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him. Let's get it on. He's defeated. Our Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hit that devil with the word. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him.
That guy's got some enthusiasm. What I want to talk about, though, is we are in a spiritual war. You may not realize it, but you are. There are no bystanders. Participation is not optional. You will be attacked. If you're never attacked by the devil, you better look whose uniform you got on. And the stakes are high. It's no less than eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? For every man, woman, or child that ever has been or will be alive. So we need, as Christians, we need spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual battle. So basically, you know, most of what I've been talking about so far is just introduction. What I really want to talk about is, as a Christian, what do I need to bear fruit and fight a spiritual battle? And I'm going to talk about There's several weapons, I think, that are key to a Christian's arsenal. There's three that come to mind is really three of the very biggest ones. One is Bible reading, two is prayer, and three is fellowship. I'm just going to say a couple words about fellowship and then talk about the other two. The thing with Christian fellowship is, I mean, it's just key. There are no solitary Christians, at least not for long. If you're going to try to do it alone, you're going to be like that little sheep that wanders off in the pasture by itself and the pack of wolves is out there and all they're thinking is, easy supper tonight. I know what we're having. I know the years I taught high school, Sunday school, I tried to get through the kids. You know, if you go off to college, if you're going to try to make it as a Christian without fellowship, you're not going to make it. If it's not true, that's not true just for college students. That's true for all of us. If you don't have Christian fellowship, you're just going to really have a hard time. Then you're going to fall, and you're not going to have somebody there to pick you up. So that's all I'm going to say about fellowship today. But the two things I'd really like to key in on are Bible reading and prayer. Now we're talking about ongoing, consistent, fervent, personal Bible study, reading, and prayer. We look at, you know, the picture from Psalm 1, that blessed man, that tree. How does that tree get to be big and full? And doesn't wither because its roots are deep. And it bears fruit year in, year out. The answer is in verse 2. He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It's ongoing, consistent growth. Yeah, not that there aren't some setbacks, not that there aren't some challenges, but it doesn't happen overnight. There's big changes sometimes overnight. You know, I really think, you know, for salvation, people are out of the kingdom one day, in the next. But then the growth from there on is a lifelong process. And I think this ongoing, consistent, fervent, personal prayer and Bible reading is the foundation of the Christian faith. You know, we live in a kind of a nice age in a way. We've got Christian TV, we've got Christian radio, books, group Bible studies. And in some ways, even I think church attendance sometimes can be, you know, a great supplement, but the fruitful Christian doing spiritual battle needs a growing, vibrant, personal relationship with God. By growing, I mean it needs to be continually expanding. If, you know, it's kind of like, how many of you sent your kids to school? If you went to school, you know, you go to first grade, okay? What do you do after you go to first grade? Hopefully. Go to second grade, then go to third grade. Unless you're Norwegian. Second grade, the best 3 years of their life. But you don't, you know, that's a joke. You don't, you know, that's not the goal. You need to be growing and expanding, and you don't stay the same. It's not like, well, I learned that once, and I don't need to ever talk about it again. It needs to be vibrant. It should affect what you do and who you are. If you read the Word, I think he talks about that in James. You know, someone who reads the word and doesn't do it is like somebody who looks in a mirror and forgets what they look like. If you're reading it, it will change you. If you're pursuing it, it will change you. And it's personal. It's you and God. It's not through some other group or person. Those are helpful. I'm not putting down fellowship, but you need to have your own personal relationship with God. I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of, you know what it is. You know, someone asked, you know Joe? Well, yeah, I know. I kind of know Joe. Fred's a good friend of mine, and Joe's a friend of Fred. So, yeah, I kind of know Joe because when I want to know something, I ask Fred and ask, you know. You know, and sometimes we get lazy in our Christian faith and we think, well, the only way, you know, and that can be different for different people. Sometimes it can be some other person in your life. It may be a spouse. It may be, it could even be a pastor or a Bible teacher that you listen to, and it's kind of like your relationship has kind of become with them, not with God. And we need to guard against that a little bit because we need to have that direct relationship with God. And He wants that. He made you unique. He gave you certain gifts, abilities, and He's got things for you to do. And they're different from what your neighbor's doing. So don't just get your food through someone else. You know, and then the question comes on how practically does this work? What in the world am I talking about? You know, I think the thing is you just need to set aside a personal devotion time. Some of you have done that for a long time. And this is an encouragement for those you have to keep on. Some of you maybe have, but it's sporadic. Some of you maybe have never tried that. I was fortunate in college. I got involved in a fellowship group, got some good training, and really, I think the real growth of my Christian life really started at that point in terms of deep spiritual growth of spending time in the Word, spending time with God. There's ups, there's downs. Yeah, I'm not always as consistent as I should be. But I think there's a couple key things is you've got to set aside the time. You know, how many of you plan to eat tomorrow, so you probably, you know you're going to eat. It might be at 11, it might be at 1. But you set aside the time. And it's the same with our relationship with God. We need to set aside the time. We're all busy. We fill our time with something. Morning's a good time. Why do I think morning's a good time? Well, yeah, I'm not that much of a morning person, but if you start your day out, you've got it. You've got your day off to a good start. You got your mind going in the right direction. It doesn't have to be then. Set aside a place. You know, if you sit in front of the TV with the TV on with three kids screaming, yeah, you know, it might not be that productive. And get a plan. Devotionals are good. You know, I think I think a lot of people in the church use our daily bread. That's good. It makes you think, and it's good that the one thing I like about devotionals is they take the word and help you apply it to your life. Because sometimes you read something, and say, "Well, what's? Yeah, that's nice. And this happened 800 years ago, but what's that got to do with me today?" A little warning. I'm not warning about devotionals, but how you use devotionals. I got in a habit a little bit. I vary throughout the year. Sometimes the year I have more time. I do more just Bible reading. Sometimes I get busy planting. Harvest, and I need something to get up that I can look at right away and get going before my mind takes off in 400 different directions. But I did this devotional for a while, and I would read, you know, they got like one verse printed. I'd read that verse and then read the devotional. And then I realized I was still kind of hungry when I got done. Because there's, you know, I was reading more the story than I was the word. And I found it works a lot better for me anyway. Read the scripture. Make sure you read the scripture. It's good to read some things about the scripture. And, a lot of the books of the Bible you can read and you understand, they're pretty much straight up. A lot of, you know, even the Gospels and Acts and a lot of things. But we're finding out, like in Sunday school, you get to a book like Revelation, yeah, you probably want some help if you want to understand more than just a little bit. And the thing is, too, you got to realize that, you know, the Bible is a spiritual book. It takes spiritual understanding. Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians in chapter 1:18, he's saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You know, I think when you spend some time in devotion and prayer, it's just to take some time and ask God to open your spiritual eyes. You know, when Jesus left, he didn't just leave us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to enlighten us, to teach us. So make use of that. And meditate on it. It's not speed reading. You know, you might set a goal. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. You know, set a goal, you know, maybe read through a book. And the goal isn't just to get it read. The goal is to get something from it. So meditate on it. Take some time and read it twice. I mean, I generally don't read books more than once. But the Bible, yeah, that's different. And prayer. You need to spend time in prayer. Talking to God. And not just talking to him, but taking time to listen. He wants to talk to you. And he wants to listen. It's not like, I've got certain people that call me. My wife probably knows who I'm talking about. When they call, you don't have to sing, because they talk. And then when they're done, they hang up. And sometimes with God, he's talking to us all the time. And we, you know, we need to talk back to him, but then we need to take, you know, I take a pause and listen, because he'll speak to you. He may speak to each person in different ways, but you will know what he's saying. You know, and like I say, take this personal devotion time, prayer and Bible reading. You need to do it consistently. How long? I don't know. I think that's up to each person, but if you're not, you know, maybe for some people it's 10 minutes at the beginning of the day. Maybe sometimes of the year or some days. Some of you may have, you know, everybody's right, life runs different. Us grain farmers, you know, we get busy and not as busy periods. We can't forget about it totally in the busy periods. But some of you have crazy weeks, but your weekends, yeah, you know, you got time to sit down and spend some serious time with the Lord. I encourage you to do that. And I certainly would not want you to limit your prayer time to your devotional time. In fact, I think you should take especially prayer and worship with you throughout the day. I think sometimes, purposely, I've gotten done with the prayer at the morning, and you know the tendency is just say, you know, have a Bible reading time, have some prayer time, get done, say amen, and get on with your day. Okay, got the God thing done. But I encourage you, just don't say amen at the end of that prayer. It's an open-ended conversation. All day, talk to them. Something's going on. You see somebody go by that's hurting, pray for them. You see a situation you don't know what to do, ask God for help. And just keep on reading. You know, sometimes you read something and you just, it's like, why am I reading this? What good is it doing? Well, it's building that tree, and I know it's building that tree. So we look in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. The scripture tells us this. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. God's written us a book. Oh, actually a whole bunch of letters, the whole book. And it's all in there for a reason. It may not be for you right now, but maybe you need it for another time. You know, the Bible, it's the autobiography of God. It's his self-revelation to us. It's living and active. It will continue to work its work in you. One of my pet peeves is, maybe people have had this happen too. Somebody comes up to you and they give you a book and say, here, I think you should read this book. I heard it's really good. You ever had that? It's kind of like, well, you know, you ask them, have you read it? Well, no, but I heard it's really good. Well, I'm like, well, if it's so good, like, why didn't you read it? And sometimes we've got to be careful too. I'm not getting down to bed. How many people here have actually read through the whole entire Bible? Okay, oh, lots of you. That's good. I would encourage those of you who haven't to do that. It takes some time. It takes some effort. It's not going to happen overnight, but there's different ways to do it. You know, you just start at the beginning and read to the end. Even like our daily bread, there's a lot of different reading plans for reading through. If you look in our daily bread, even up in the corner, it's got, if you're going to read through the Bible in a year, what you need to read. And it's not all that much if you keep at it. You know, 2-3 chapters in the Old Testament, chapter 2 in the New. And it depends how you like to read. I mean, some people would just as soon, you know, maybe you're one of those people, it's the week is crazy, and I could read something, but I'm so focused on everything else, I can't get it done. You know, maybe Saturday mornings you need to get up before everybody else and sit down and read a book, because read through one of the books. Because some of you, you know, when you start something, you want to see how it comes out. And that's good. Or I would encourage if you're reading through the Old Testament, it's nice to have a fairly readable version, like something that's got some of those measurements converted. You know, so maybe you'll find that helpful. Or some of you are really study freaks and you like to read, and you like to read all the notes and everything. Well, then, you know, you better be using a study Bible. But basically, just read it. Or some of you have other times when it's like, you know, I sure wish I had something to listen to other than this stupid radio. Now, I shouldn't say that. Oh, they're not listening to KOQP or KCGN, obviously. But, you know, they probably somebody at work's got some other station on, Paul. Well, I'll be careful what I say. But you need to do something more healthy, you know, because maybe you can get a hold of some tapes. Or I was looking last night, but I didn't look long enough. I'm sure somewhere on the internet you can download books of the Bible on an MP3 player. And you know, because maybe you have long stretches where you're out driving or in the equipment where you don't have to be concentrating so much, you can listen. So there's different ways to do it. But I would just encourage you to read it, and keep reading it. And some of you maybe think you're a full-grown Christian, like that tree you've grown to full height, full width, and you really don't need to read much anymore. But I got news for you. You know what they do to fruit trees? They prune them. You want more fruit, you got to get pruned. You got to let the master gardener get to work on you a little bit. So this is not, I'm not directing this at any certain person here. I'm directing this at everybody. So just keep on. Because, just to close here, we're going to look into, if I get through this, 2 Timothy 4. Paul is talking near the end of his life. He's in prison, writing to Timothy, and he's encouraging him. But Paul is talking about his life, and he's, you know, I think most of us agree that Paul was a big fruit tree. And he was able to say this with conviction at the end of his life. This is also the verses that were on the Caring Bridge website, I think, as we look at Pat, and we look at the fruit in her life. This should be our goal at the end of our life, to be able to say with Paul, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have longed for his appearing. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you love us so much, Lord, that you have provided your word for us. You've provided your son, Jesus, to be our Savior. You've provided the Spirit to walk alongside of each day, Lord. That we just come to you confessing that we often ignore those gifts that you have given to us. And Lord, we just pray that you would convict each one of us to take that time, to spend that time with you on a regular, ongoing basis, Lord, that we would draw closer to you. Not that we'd be proud that we have read or done anything, but Lord, that we would pursue you. And Lord, that we miss a day, that we not become discouraged, because that's not defeat, Lord, but just that we would not give up the pursuit of you, Lord, and that we would continue on until that day when you meet us face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.